Trio, this morning I'd like you to take your Bibles and go with me to John chapter 8. Our scripture reading will begin in verse 31, and we'll go through verse 47 of John chapter 8. Trust you have your Bibles and that you have them open to this passage, and that you will follow as I read. Let's stand together, please, in respect to the Word of God, John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill Me, because My word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with My Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto Him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill Me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard from God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to Him, "We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love Me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of Myself, but He sent Me. Why do ye not understand My speech? Even because ye cannot hear My word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in Him. When He speaketh a lie, He speaketh of His own, for He is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe Me not. Which of you convinceth Me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe Me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. Let's go to Him in prayer. Our Father, we have open before us this passage, John 8. And as we consider and contemplate what You have given for us this morning, I pray that we would have open hearts, open minds to receive and to respond to Your word. We pray that You would use this in our lives, to point things out, Lord, to encourage us, perhaps to rebuke us, whatever we need this morning. Lord, I pray that You would use me to adequately communicate Your word, to do so faithfully, accurately, and may You be honored and glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's many things about you that can be explained by identifying your father. It's interesting, when you haven't met someone's father, you've known this person, and then you meet the father, all of a sudden things begin to make sense, and you say, yeah, that's why he does such and such. Now I can see why he walks like he walks. I can see why he looks the way he looks, and so forth. It explains much about you physically. In the same way, you can tell a lot about somebody by identifying their spiritual father. A lot of people today claim God is their father. In fact, some place their hope in this fact or in this phrase. Well, we are all God's children. That's a lie of the devil. We are not all God's children. I trust that all of us here this morning are. But we are not all God's children. Do you realize there are some people who are the children of the devil? that every person who does not know Christ as Savior is a child of the devil. Jesus very plainly says here in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. To whom is he speaking? To the people who believed in him. As we saw last Sunday, these people really did not place their faith and trust in him for salvation. It is simply a head knowledge. He says to them very plainly, you are of your father, the devil. Now, we are all God's creation, but we are not all God's children. We were created in his image, but that image was marred. That image was marred by sin. To say you are God's child is to say that he is your father, and children will be like their father. For unbelievers, their father is not who they think he is. And for many professing believers, their father is not who they think he is, because these are professing believers. Jesus dismantles these Jews' claim of their father. And from this passage, we can learn how to identify our spiritual father. How? I want us to contemplate, and I use that word contemplate carefully because I want us to consider carefully four things from this passage. John 8, verses 33 to 47. This morning I'm going to cover that first point, verses 33 to 36. From this you can learn, or you can identify your spiritual father. How? I want you to contemplate, number one, your Lord. And I use that word Lord with a small L, because your Lord may not be one who deserves the capital L. Your Lord, or your master. As you seek to identify someone's father, contemplate or carefully consider who their Lord is. Jesus said this in Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It is therefore possible for someone to call Jesus Lord and him not be their master. Because if they do not the things which he says, they are obviously not his servants, and he obviously is not their Lord or master. Why therefore do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say? As we contemplate your Lord, and as we contemplate who these people's Lord is, I want us to see, first of all, their denial of slavery. They said in verse 33, we're Abraham's children, we were never in bondage to any man. How do you say, you shall be made free? You see, the fact that Jesus said, you shall be made free, implies that they were not. And they say, we were never. Now, let's just go back in Jewish history a little bit. Let's see if they were ever in bondage to anybody. Can you think of any time when the children of Israel were ever in bondage to any other nation? You think of Egypt right away. Slaves. Moses. Yes, they were slaves. You think of the book of Judges. How many times were they in bondage to the Midianites and to all these other peoples, the Philistines and so forth? You think of Babylon, you think of Persia, and right now when Jesus is speaking to them, are they a free people? Are the shackles of any nation upon them at this time? The Roman Empire. I honestly don't believe they are denying political slavery. They fully realize that they've been slaves. I don't think they're just sloughing that off and saying, well, we never were slaves. I believe they understood that they were politically slaves. I believe that they are talking religiously or spiritually here. Why? Because they said, now we are of the seed of Abraham. How do you say we were never in bondage? Religiously. With our individual liberty. You know something? You tell a man that there's no good thing in him and he won't believe you. But you tell a man that he is a slave and he will become indignant. Why? Because slavery has along with it humiliation. And the fact that I can't do what I want to do, I have to do what somebody else tells me to do. Slavery is humiliating. John Calvin, the Reformer, said this, "The greater the mass of vices anyone is buried under, the more fiercely and bombastically does he extol free will. The more somebody is under the shackles of some sin or somebody else, the more he proclaims his liberty, if he doesn't want to admit it." Let me give an example. Perhaps you've met somebody who was an alcoholic. Do they always admit that they're an alcoholic? What does an alcoholic most often do? "I'm not an alcoholic. I can drink as much as I want. I'm not an alcoholic. I can stop anytime." You see, he doesn't think he's under the shackles of that particular sin, that particular life-dominating sin. You tell a sensualist that he is in bondage, and he will angrily reply to you, "You're the one in bondage because you're so narrow-minded. You're bound by your narrow thoughts. You're bound by your repressive lifestyle that you can't have freedom," when he's the one who's in bondage. Interesting how people will deny the fact that they are slaves. Are you like these Jews? Do you consider yourself a slave? Here's their denial of slavery. But I want you to see, secondly, the essence of slavery. I ask you again, do you consider yourself a slave? Maybe to use the lingo or the King James language that we see in verse 33, you would say, "No, we be Americans. I'm not a slave. We've got a free country. I'm not a slave." Let me give you a definition of slavery. This is by Walter Williams, professor of economics at George Mason University. The essence of slavery is, quote, "the forcible use of one person to serve the purposes of another." The forcible use of one person to serve the purposes of another. Now, let me ask you, are you a slave? As you consider that, let me give you this example. Are you forced to pay taxes to give income to a person who is too lazy to work? Is someone forcing you to serve the purposes of another? Guess what? You're not as free in this country as you think you are. Let me give another example. Are you being forced to serve the purposes of another when the government forces you to buy health care so that everybody has it? Are they going to force this? You're not as free as you thought. Whosoever is forced by government to serve another is a slave of government. How interesting that a man whose ancestors were slaves is now enslaving this country. Everyone, Jesus says, or whosoever, he says in verse 34, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Oh, we be free. We be Abraham's children. We're not slaves. Whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. You, as a slave of sin, are being forced to serve the purposes of sin. Whosoever, by the way, is what Jesus says here, and he is wiping out the distinction between Jew and Gentile. Because the Jews would say, "Abraham's our father." It's those Gentiles who are in slavery. Jesus says, no. Whosoever is committing sin is the servant of sin. Everyone is the slave of sin, and that's qualified by who is constantly doing sin. Now, as you think about this passage, when you think about this verse 34, you'll right away say, well, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Well, I've been saved, and yet I still sin. This is where the original language is. Will help us out. Jesus is not saying that those who ever commit a single act of sin are the slaves of sin. But those who are committing or practicing sin, they are the slaves to sin. It's in the present tense. In other words, somebody who lives in sin. Please go with me to 1 John chapter 3. John the Apostle wrote the Gospel of John. He also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the book of Revelation. Let's go to 1st John, his first epistle, and look at chapter 3. Note with me verses 6 through 9. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now, at first reading, you would say, see this and say, I'm shot, because I sin. Even as a believer, I still sin. I must not be saved. Please understand what the Bible is saying here. Whosoever is practicing sin, whosoever is constantly committing a particular sin, somebody who was under the domination of sin, according to verse 6 here of chapter 3, he has neither seen nor known the Lord. John is not teaching that a man is able to live without sinning. Far from it. In fact, if you go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He is not denying that we sin, but the man who is constantly missing the mark of God's glory and delights in missing the mark of God's glory, he is a transgressor of God's law, because sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. Notice verse 9 of chapter 3 of 1 John. He who is born of God does not claim the seed of Abraham. What does he claim? He claims the seed of God. Do you see that in verse 9? His seed, that is God's seed, remains in him. That's why whoever is born of God does not practice sin. The seed of God. What is the seed of God? Can you think of a parable that Jesus gave where he said, the seed is? If you go to Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, you will see there that the seed, very plainly, Jesus says the seed is the word of God. That's where Jesus makes it very clear. Now, when you look at 1 John 3:9 and it says his seed or the word of God remaineth in him. Do you remember the title of last week's message? It's the what principle? The minnow principle. The principle of constantly abiding. Now, if you're staying with me, I've got my Bible open to John chapter 8 and 1 John chapter 3. I want to show you something. Go back to John chapter 8 and you'll notice verse 31 again. Jesus said, if ye continue in my word. Now, with that phrase in mind, 1 John 3:9, his seed literally continues in him. Same word that John used in John 8:31. His seed continues in him. You can clean somebody up on the outside, but they will go back to doing what they do by nature. But when the seed of God, when the word of God continues within you, there is a work of transformation that takes place. You can take a criminal who's been paroled, a criminal who's been pardoned, and nearly every time they go back to their life of crime. Why? It was simply an outside transformation. By nature, we are a sinner. We are sinners. By nature, we have a sin nature. That's why we need to be born again. Again, 1 John 3:9. And I've already turned away from it, so I'm heading back to that. 1 John 3:9. Notice what he says. Whosoever is born of God, that's being born again, doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. I am stressing something here this morning. That if you have truly been born again, you will not be under the domination of sin. Sin will not rule over you. You will sin, but it is not something that you will practice. We still have a sin nature, but now the Holy Spirit dwells within. And according to Galatians chapter 5, there's this tremendous battle that is waging within us. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7, where he says, the things that I should do, I don't do. The things I shouldn't do are the things that I'm doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I praise God for Jesus Christ. He shall deliver me. That battle continues through our life. But folks, if it is true that you are dominated by sin, it is an indication that you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus says, whosoever is constantly committing sin is the servant of sin. That's what he's telling these Jews. You say you're the children of Abraham and you say you're free. Listen, if you're constantly committing sin, you are a slave. You are not free. And that's why I said, you shall know the truth. And what is the truth? It's God's word. And the truth shall set you free. Even Caesar is a slave. Well, let's bring that to modern days. Even Obama is a slave. And you know what he's a slave to? He's a slave to sin. And it is very evident that he is. Why do people do what they do? We've had discussions here before. Why can't these people understand? Why do they do what they do? Because they are slaves. They are simply obeying their master. They are obeying their Lord, and their Lord is sin. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. 2 Peter 2:19. That's the same passage where Peter says, you know why the dog goes back to his vomit? Because he's a dog. You know why a sow goes back to wallowing in the mire? Because she's a sow. These people say they've been transformed into sheep. They're not. They're dogs and they're sows. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that you can willingly be involved in sin and on your way to heaven. You mean it's possible for a person to deceive himself into thinking he's on his way to heaven while he is actively, habitually, willfully involved in sin? Yes. And this morning I'm going to take a little kind of a detour from John chapter 8. I'm going to spend some time on a passage here. I've never preached through this passage, so I want us to go to this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I've made reference to it many times, but I want you to see what Paul, in agreement with Jesus Christ, because the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, I want you to see what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul warns us not to deceive ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, are you there? Look at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Paul is saying, are you not knowing that the unrighteous, and then he's going to give us a list of what unrighteousness is. Are you not knowing that the unrighteous, the kingdom of God, shall not inherit? And then he says this, be not deceived. Now, why would he say that? Because there is the possibility you can be deceived. Whenever you see that phrase in Scripture, it's because there is the possibility. So it is possible for even someone here this morning to be deceived into thinking that somebody who is unrighteous can still go to heaven. He can inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be led astray, he is saying. So he is anticipating that men will say otherwise. And that literally, by the way, means stop an action in progress. Stop being deceived. Now Paul lists sinners, not sins. He does not list sins here. He lists sinners. Notice what he says. Neither fornicators. Now I'm going to go through each one of these. Because Jesus says, whosoever commit a sin is the servant of sin. Let's look and see if any of these is your master. Neither fornicators, that is, those who practice sexual immorality, premarital relations, living together. Does that offend you? That's what a fornicator is. In fact, we get our word pornography from this word. It's pornos. Those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. If that is something that dominates you and you willfully give into it, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. The next word, neither idolaters. What is an idolater? An idolater is someone who puts something or someone before God. If you are constantly putting something else before God or some other person before God, you are an idolater. And what does the Bible say about an idolater? He will not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither, what's the next one out loud, please? Adulterers, a married person who is having relations with another person who is not the spouse. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Somebody who is practicing this, living this lifestyle. What's the next one? Neither. Effeminate. There's two words here that refers to homosexuality. This is the first word, effeminate. It literally has to do with somebody who is soft. The passive partner in a same-sex relationship. That is exactly what it's talking about. In fact, the word, it's malakos, is used of the clothing that John the Baptist did not wear. Jesus points out very specifically, what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft malakos raiment? No, that's what kings wear. He was no sissy. He was not somebody with a limp wrist. That was not John the Baptist. Neither the effeminate, folks. If somebody is involved in the homosexual lifestyle, according to the Bible, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Next one. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. This is a homosexual. And a lot of modern day translations will make that clear. It is a homosexual. Those who engage in same-sex activity. There are people who say, you know, the Bible's unclear about whether homosexuality is condemned. You're blind. It is all through the Bible. Guess what? A practicing homosexual will not inherit the kingdom of God. Whosoever is under the domination of sin is a slave of sin, and slaves of sin will not see the kingdom of God. Go on to the next verse. Verse 10. Nor what? Those who steal. We get our word kleptomaniac from this Greek word, kleptos. Someone who is constantly stealing. Next word, nor the covetous. One who is greedy, who cheats, who defrauds other people. And this is his practice. Nor what? What's next? Drunkards, those who become intoxicated, those who are drunk. Nor what? Revilers, those who are abusive, mainly in their speech. Nor, next, extortioners, those who steal by force. Another word for this is plunderers. By the way, socialism is legalized plunder. This is pointing out a lot of people who practice this, mainly in our government. May I just be very blunt here? A couple of weeks ago on a Saturday night, President Obama invited all the homosexuals in and endorsed their lifestyle. He may not practice it, but I dare say that somebody who endorses it may as well be practicing it. But I can tell you something he is practicing. He's a thief. And he's an extortioner. He is a plunderer. What does it say? None of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. Twice it said. Verse 9 and again at the last part of verse 10. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's repeated. Now go on to verse 11. And such were some of you. This indicates that it was true of some, but they stopped. They were converted, and now they are no longer slaves to sin. And now Paul goes on to describe them. You are washed. That implies that those things that they were formerly involved in made them dirty. They were filthy. You were washed. And by the way, that's not in the present tense. That doesn't say you are being washed. It gives a one-time action. It's in the aorist tense. You were washed. There was a time when this person came to know Jesus Christ. It's in the aorist. It's a one-time thing. You were washed. It goes on to say, but ye are sanctified, that is, you were made holy. You were set apart for God. That implies that everything above it was unholy. And then it goes on to say, but ye are justified. That literally means you were declared righteous in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. What is the essence of slavery? The forcible use of one person to serve the purposes of another. Everyone is a slave of sin who is continually doing sin. Now, let me ask you, does that describe you? Are you a slave? Are you chained to some sin? Thirdly, we look at the status of slavery in John chapter 8 as we go back there. The status of slavery. Jesus says in verses 35 and 36, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The list that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is not exhaustive. That doesn't mean, well, none of those describe me. Well, we can go to some other lists in the Bible. But I want you to see the status of slavery. First of all, the issue of security in verse 35. The servant or the slave abideth not in the house forever. The slave could be sold or released at any time. But what about the son? Can a son be sold? A true son? Will a son ever be released? No, sonship is permanent. He is heir to the Father and can never be anything else other than the Son. A son cannot be separated from the master or his father. A slave can. The slave may live in the house, but he is not part of the family. There's no guaranteed future for a slave. It's a very insecure way to live. He may love his master, but at any time he can be sold. Jesus may have in mind here Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac was the son of promise. Ishmael was the son of bondage. And Jesus may have them in mind here. Some other time when you have the time, go to Galatians chapter 4 and read verses 21 to 31, where it talks about Abraham's true children remain in his household and enjoy its privileges permanently, but Abraham's slave, think of Hagar, will be driven out. So these Jews may be the physical descendants of Abraham, but not the spiritual descendants. So who are the true children of Abraham? I've never understood that crazy little Sunday school song with all the motions. I don't like it, actually. But there's some truth to it. Father Abraham had many sons. And you go on. And the thing is kids never think about the words because they're just doing the actions. But Father Abraham, is he your father? Is he mine? Spiritually? Would you please go with me to Romans chapter 4? The Jews said they're the children of Abraham. Know what Jesus says, Romans 4, 11 and 12. Speaking of Abraham, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father. Did Paul call Abraham his father? Not just because he was circumcised. No, but because he believed. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same, who are they? The children of Abraham. Look at verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Can I actually sing Father Abraham? I can. He's my father spiritually. Is he the father of these Jews? Physically? Yes. Spiritually? No. Who is their father? Jesus is not there yet, but he's going to very, very plainly declare who their father is. The fact that you are the natural descendant of Abraham does not entitle you to the blessings which belong to his spiritual descendants. There is no security for a slave to sin. But go to verse 36, and here we see the issue of liberty. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now the term Son is applied to Jesus. He, as the heir to the Father, is one in purpose and power with the Father. He has the authority to liberate slaves. He is the only one who can change the status from that of slave to son. He is the one who can transform someone into the sons of God. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God. Someone who was formerly a slave to sin can now become a son of God. How? As many as receive Him. So the question this morning is, are you a son or a slave? Who is your father? Like father, like son. Jesus' sermon that He preached, one of His first sermons that He preached in the synagogue at Nazareth. Remember, He was going to the Old Testament. Somebody handed Him the Old Testament scroll and He opened it up to what passage? Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. And He said, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised." He came to liberate slaves. And He says in the last part of verse 36, "You shall be free indeed." It's not the same word "indeed" as we saw in verse 31 where it says disciples indeed. This literally is translated, "Being free, you shall be." Being free, you shall be. Free from what? The condemnation of sin, Romans 8:1. The power of Satan, Acts 26:18. The chains of sin, Romans 6:14 and 18. I am free. I am unshackled. I am free from those things, but I am free to what? I am free to serve God. Romans 6:22 says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." I am free from sin, but I am free to serve God. I cannot serve God if I am also serving sin. You cannot serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. So I end this message by asking this question: who is your spiritual father? It is not God the Father if you are a slave to sin. It is not. Don't deceive yourself. You say that you have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, but none of those things can take the sting out of death. None can make you comfortable on your deathbed. The only true liberty is that which the Son of God provides. And the first step toward deliverance is to know I'm a captive. A slave to sin is one who dies in his sins. Jesus made that clear in verses 21 and 24. How am I set free? I am set free by the Son. How does He do it? If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. How does He do it? Through the power of His Word. Note the emphasis on His Word. Verse 31. Would you follow me? if you continue in my word. In verse 32, ye shall know the truth. That refers to his word. Go to verse 37. My word hath no place in you. Go to verse 40. A man who has told you the truth, that refers to God's word. Verse 43, you cannot hear my word. Verse 45, I tell you the truth, that refers to his word. Go to verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. It is God's word that sets you free. That's why he emphasizes in verse 31, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Who was your father? Are you a son? Are you a slave? As a son, he is your father. As a slave, you have a Lord, and it is sin. Would you bow your heads? Let's bow our heads together.